emotionally and spiritually healthy.
Amen.
I think it's so needed. Scripture offers comfort, peace, and restoration for emotional and spiritual wounds by highlighting God's love, presence, and healing power. Key verses includes Psalms 147:3, which talks about he heals the brokenhearted, and Psalms 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. We're going to start off in Psalms 34. And one thing about Psalms 34, it's a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Amalek, who drove him away and he departed. You know, we all will need spiritual healings and emotional healings, and it helps us to move forward, helps us to just process things and deal with the hurt and the wound that's been in our life, and it helps us to grow from it, learn from it, and to be able to put it in perspective. And so we're going to talk about several scriptures that offer the most tender assurances. In these scriptures, we will see and hear that David doesn't ask whether the righteous cry out. He assumes they will. We all know that life brings moments that breaks us, seasons that crush the spirit, and burdens that feel too heavy to carry. But God's response to these moments and seasons in our lives is immediate and intimate in God's time. There are four things that you should hear today from this message. And we're going to talk about a word of hope for the wounded. And we should hear God hears. Your cries are not ignored, dismissed, or lost in the noise of the world. He bends toward the hurting. Number two, God delivers. Deliverance may come through strength, through endurance, through rescue, or through peace, but it comes. He is active and not distant. God is near. He draws close to the brokenhearted. He does not shame the wounded. He shelters them. And finally, God saves the crushed in spirit. When the weight of this life presses you down, God lifts you up. He rescues not only from circumstances, but from despair itself. And Psalms 34:17-18, it says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and save those crushed in spirit. Amen. So let's talk about cry out to God instead of carrying the weight alone. Mm-hmm. I think too many times we like to carry the weight alone. I'm strong. I can handle it. Mm-hmm. You know, this scripture passage invites you to bring your pain, confusion, and heavy heart directly to God. He hears, so we don't have to hide. He delivers, so we don't have to pretend we're strong. And I think too many people, they do that. They too many times like to pretend, I'm strong, I got it, I can carry it. But we're not meant to do that. We're meant to lean into God. We know the scripture, God said, bring me your burdens. Too many times we want to carry those burdens. We don't want to give it to God. You know, instead of carrying the weight alone, let's make prayer our first response. Yes. Not our last resort.
That's right.
Let's tell God the truth about what hurts and not keep it hidden.
Yes.
Let's encourage others to do the same. To put it into practice. You know, it's great when you're able to have conversation with family and friends and people. You learn that you're not the only one, the scripture said, that's kind of dealing with difficult things in life. And you find out from other people that the way that they're handling it, it's not the best because they're internalizing it. They're bottling it all up.
Right.
And they're feeling like, I'm just going through this alone and nobody gets it. But I was speaking with a brother yesterday about how I read something long ago about the things that I go through is not necessarily meant for me. It's meant for me to share with others. Mm-hmm. Because somebody along the way is going to come along and go through something similar. And they're not going to know how to process it, how to manage it, or what to do with it. And so the things that I've gone through in life, I'm able to advise them on it. I'm able to point them to God and say, this is how you need to handle it. With a lot of patience.
Yes.
With a lot of grace. And don't try to carry it on your own. You know, another practical is we're going to talk about let God's nearness reshape how you walk through suffering. Mm-hmm. Brokenness is not a sign of God's absence. It is the place where his presence becomes most real. There's a scripture that's talking about God loves a contrite and broken heart. You know, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. When you feel crushed, remind yourself, God is near me right now. I think sometimes when we're going through things, we tend to forget God. We feel like God is not here. Where is God? This is rough. That's just human. That's how we feel. But it's in those times that we need to remind ourselves that God is near me, that he's present. And I need to lean into that. We need to replace self-condemnation with the truth of his compassion.
Yes.
For us, we need to realize the cross is sufficient. It is enough. God's love is sufficient. It is enough. Then we need to slow down enough to sense his presence in the middle of the pain. Earlier, we were just talking about society, and Scott was sharing about how, you know, in the 70s, things were different, and we were talking about how back in the 70s, it was just different versus how it is today. Life is a rush, 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 go. It's busy, 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 busy. We're talking about the garden, like people should plant more gardens. But our society is like, it has groomed us to like, you don't have time to do that.
Right.
I need you just to go. Somebody else will do it, and we'll put whatever chemicals we need to put in it so you can go get it off the shelf.
That's right.
And then you can complain later, go see a doctor, and the doctor tell you, don't eat fresh food. It's amazing how the cycle is. But in order to connect with God, we need to slow down. We just need to take time and say, I need to slow down, sit still and pause, and connect with God. That's it. And that's challenging. For our generation, we're so used to going, sometimes it's hard to be still. Until you get to a point you're just tired and you're like, I just don't want to do nothing. And that may only be for an hour or so. But we need to say, you know what? To connect with God, for God to see my pain, hear my pain, hear my cry, I need to slow down. I need to slow down. Let's talk about we need to extend God's nearness to others who are hurting. You know, the Great Commission sends us out. And Psalms 34 equips us with the heart to go. People are not just lost. Many are wounded, crushed, and barely holding on. There's a scripture in Matthew 9, I think it's Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. It talks about the harvest. And it talks about when God saw the people, he saw how they were helpless and they were harassed. We see that every day. We see people who are helpless and harassed. That's our society. We need to be able to extend with what we know, with the relationship we have with God. We need to be extended to other people so they can understand that having this closeness, this nearness with God is what's best for them to heal emotionally and spiritually. We need to be present with the brokenhearted in our church and in our community. We can't be somebody from a distance saying, I wish you well, do the best. You know, we need to be near. We need to be with people. We need to be present with them, whether it's in prayer, phone call, or visiting. This weekend, I had a chance to talk to a lot of people this weekend. Some needed some encouragement. I just called at the right time because I'm just checking up on people who are dealing with some things. They needed somebody in prison. I met this one person. He said, "I'm just making it. This is hard. I'm just making it." He needed me to be present right there in that moment to encourage him. In turn, God has somebody else call me, just checking on me. "How you doing, man? I'm just thinking about you, man. I just want to pray with you and encourage you." Wasn't expecting that. God put on somebody else's heart to say, "You need to call Sydney. You need to be near him." Yeah. People need to feel that. You know, being present with the brokenhearted, we need to listen without rushing to fix.
Right.
Some of us, we may feel like, "I got to fix the problem." "I got to fix the problem." But a lot of times the problem is not for us to fix. I heard a saying recently, was in a discussion, we were talking about this, and it was said that the poor are people. They are not a problem to be fixed. But a lot of time when we think of the poor, we think they're a problem. We need to fix them.
That's right. Yeah.
But they're not a problem to be fixed. We can help. We can advise. We can guide. We can teach. We can train. We can educate. But eventually, like with us, they've got to be able to become self-sustaining, stand on their own. That's helping somebody to emotionally and spiritually heal. We need to listen without rushing to fix. And what I found out also this weekend is that some of the people I talked to, they just needed me to listen. They need me to fix the problem. They just needed me to listen. I don't know if sometimes you have this problem, but sometimes you may have this heart like, "Okay, I got the answer. I hear you. I got the answer." And you cut them off and you don't let them finish. It's not helping them. They just want you to listen. They just want you to hear them. They just want to be heard. And that's what we got to practice sometime when we're trying to extend God's nearness to those who are brokenhearted, those who are having a rough time. We need to offer prayer, scripture, and encouragement as expressions of God's nearness. All those are needed in people's life. We can never have enough prayer. Scripture can never get old. I think Paul says in Philippians, he talks about, he says, "Yes, I'm repeating the same thing to you again." He puts it in the context, it's important, because we can forget scripture. We know scripture, but people are like, "Oh, I forgot it." But God, you need to be reminded the importance of scripture and how it plays in your life. And we need to encourage people always of God's nearness. I think also Psalms 34 expresses, talks about we need to trust God to save even when you cannot see the outcome yet. For those of us who love to be in control, we love to see the end of the story. I'm so grateful that God has given us the ability to plan our route. And we can say, "Okay, if I do this, do this, do this, it should end up like this."
That's right.
We love it. We love it.
Dang it.
But sometimes God says, "I just need you to trust me," yeah, without knowing how the end's going to, you know, how it's going to end in the outcome, you know, how the outcome's going to end. God says, "I need you to trust." You know, save in this passage includes rescue, strength, endurance, and hope. God's salvation is not always immediate, but it is always certain. We need to look for God's hand in small mercies, not just big miracles.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us are guilty of, "I'm looking for the big miracles." But our society has trained us to look for, "Oh, the big miracle. This is amazing. It needs to be this big," you know. But small mercies are amazing.
Yes, they are.
They are truly amazing. And small mercies sometimes are the big miracles that you're looking for. We need to keep obeying even when you're still waiting for deliverance. That's challenging. I got to keep doing the right thing.
You mean I have to keep being righteous?
You know? Lord, come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come, God, come on, man. You know? But we have to keep being obedient while we're waiting for deliverance. I think that whole thing that speaks to, I got to persevere. I got to endure. Oh, I got to practice the P word. Patience. Patience. I got to practice patience. You know, I think one of the things about that is I need to pray more about my heart. You know, because, Lord, I just believe you should have been here yesterday, 2 days ago, last week, 7 years ago. You know, I was up in the VA, and I was talking with some people about caregiving stuff for Sharice. And they said, well, how long have you been going on? I said, well, May 5th will be 7 years. It went by so fast, but 7 years. Waiting on deliverance. But guess what? I'm going to practice patience and prayer and perseverance. And keep obeying until I get a yes. We need to anchor our hearts in his character, not our circumstances. When we are going through some things, our circumstances can overwhelm us. They can seem to overtake us. And we no longer have our anchor in God. We will actually pull our anchor up from God and anchor in our circumstances. And that dictates our whole emotional and spiritual mental state. It just does. But God said, no. No matter what you're going through, you need to trust God. And the only way you can trust God is you got to leave your anchor with God. Do not pull your anchor up and put it in your circumstances. Circumstances come and go. You know they, don't you?
Yeah.
Me and a person was talking. We were laughing. Who was I talking? I was talking to somebody. And they were sharing with me, and I was like, nah, that you can have that. And we were talking about how you go through things in seasons. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they make you stronger, and you go through these adversities. He said, yeah, man, but you know, there might be another around the corner. I'm like, no, don't want it, don't need it. You can have that next adversity that's coming. You know, and he was just talking about, you know, yeah, looking forward to it, and, you know, it's just going to make me stronger. And I'm like, no. I'm not looking forward to it. I just want peace. You can have it, you know. But, you know, it's just that just when you deal with things in life, you can't let your circumstances dictate how you're going to respond. You can't let your circumstances dictate how you're going to remain obedient to God. Instead, your obedience should dictate everything.
Great point.
Circumstances come and go. Talk about use your brokenness as a testimony of God's faithfulness. Psalms 147 verse 3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. We got to use our brokenness as a testimony of God's faithfulness. Your story of how God met you in your pain becomes a powerful tool for the lost, for the wounded, and they're barely holding on. And we all have talked to people in our lives who have gave us the impression, or we knew that, they're just barely holding on, man. They're just barely holding on. We need to share how God has carried you through difficult seasons. Do you share that with people when you get the opportunity? When people just talking to you about whatever's going on in their life? And they needed encouragement. They need to hear that, oh, God is still on the throne. God is still working. They need to hear about your life story, how God has carried you through some difficult seasons. Let your vulnerability open doors for ministry. Sometimes we like to hold a lot of things close to the vest. No, I'm not like that. I'm walking on water. No, I got it all together. That's not life. That's not being real. We need to be vulnerable and let people know. No, I struggle too. I'm a man of God, I'm a woman of God, but I have my challenges too. But this is how I overcome them. You know, I trust in God. You know, I stay obedient to God. I pray to God. We need to show others that God is not just the God of the strong. He is the God of the crushed. We need to show that. If you know the story of Samson and Delilah, Samson was blessed with a lot of strength, divine strength. Did some amazing things for God. And of course, in Samson's pride and everything, and arrogance, he lost that. And Samson got to a point where he was just pretty much crushed. It's crushed. You know, but, you know, even in Samson's despair, in the last hour, he prayed to God. And God, one last time, gave him the strength that he needed to perform a divine feat. He just did. We like to think God is only with the people who are strong, but that's not true. God is with the brokenhearted, the crushed in spirit. And people need to know that.
Yes.
You need to know that, no matter what you're going through. You know, this verse, Psalms 147:3, this verse reminds you, this verse reminds, should remind us that brokenness is not a barrier to God. It is an invitation to his nearness. He is not only the Lord of all authority. We know Matthew 28:18 speaks about that, you know. All authority in heaven has been given to me. He's not only the Lord of all authority, but he is also the Lord who sits beside the crushed in spirit. You know, emotionally or spiritually, whatever you've been through, or if you're going through something right now, God is near and he is there. You just have to be open, and you just have to let God in. That's it. And you have to take care of this relationship, God, with patience, with perseverance, with obedience. Let's embrace God's nearness by loving him on his term and not our own. The key to getting stronger emotionally and spiritually is to love God on his terms, not on our terms. Not God, these are my terms of how it's going to be. But no, they have to be done on God's terms and God's terms alone. We serve an amazing God who is the author and creator of who we are. We serve an amazing God who understands us on an intimate level, emotionally and spiritually. And when we get that and we understand that and we lean into that, we will find out that the God who not only sits near the strong, but he also sits and loves to be near the crushed in spirit so that they may be built up to be mighty men and women of God who can be his light in this world.
Amen.
Let's go to God in prayer.